album of the same name, Cinderella's Eyes, Nicola Roberts, of course, formerly with Girls Aloud. Wonderful. Somebody who wasn't formerly with Girls Aloud, at least unless he's kept it very quiet and was indeed Cheryl Cole in disguise, or Cheryl Tweedy, is War Ian. That's right. Yes, the man who's enjoying the street parties that Newcastle are having to celebrate the joys of the French connection with Newcastle and the World Cup, as opposed to England's glorious point against Costa Rica. Yes, we have Ian Lennox online. How are you, Ian?
I'm fine, thank you.
So you kept fairly quiet with respect to the World Cup. I noticed you shared on your Facebook some people might call this the best World Cup ad ever. After watching it, you might have to agree, which is interesting from that point of view. That got an interesting response from Colleen Cairns, who said, gentlemen, please. But you quite happily sort of...
You got away with words as Colleen, yeah.
Yeah, there we are, you see.
Hey, anyway, I want to take some up with you.
Do you?
You've only got 5 votes in the... in the World Cup competition, I've got 7.
Yes, yes.
Now, you wouldn't take my advice that Manchester City weren't going to win the World Cup, would you? That's what happened.
That's as it stood. I haven't included yesterday's scores. This is for another competition we're having, which is on our sister station. We'll talk about that. It's the predictor challenge that we're having for the World Cup. I felt I might have to come out in sympathy with Roy Hodgson in terms of that. But have you been enjoying the tournament, Ian?
Yes, I have. I think the football and the intent of the attacking football has been absolutely refreshing. There's only been very few games which were quite boring. The last one being the England game against
Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Costa Rica. Yeah. Yes, it was. Did you not think it was a gloriously brave nil or score draw that Roy Hodgson managed to set out his team and Frank Lampard obviously led from the front and it just fitted so well?
Yeah. I think he just tried to give people. Well, you want to see how the young players would play in a big competition.
There is a thought, of course, which
and
suggests...
And also, I think you just want to give some people a chance to, haven't been there for 2 weeks.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. And Wayne Rooney's doubled his goal tally, so what's not to appreciate about that?
Hit the bar as well.
Yeah, exactly. Interesting enough, obviously, Luis Suarez got so hungry in beating England that he felt he had to have a bit of a pizza taste.
Yeah.
But there we are. That's another line entirely. It's obviously a conspiracy, Ian, and I don't want to go any further at this particular stage because clearly it's a European conspiracy, in the same way as Sepp Blatter maintains that most of the criticism is all to do with racism.
Yes, I know.
Anyway, on a slightly different note, and interesting enough, the Maracanã Stadium hasn't hosted a great deal of goals as yet. It's been pointed out that most of the low-scoring games were actually taking place in the Maracanã Stadium, which suggests maybe the teams playing there, a bit like France yesterday, perhaps finding it a little bit overwhelming in terms of simply being there. But
really? I think it's a coincidence. I mean, these players all used to play in front of huge crowds, I think. Mm-hmm.
A pity that our regular correspondent, who may take up the range for the last 20 minutes of the show, of course, he's assistant manager here at Siren 107.3 FM, Ed Wellman, isn't around, because you also shared an interesting link from the Music Empowers Foundation with the line, budget cuts are emptying music classrooms, and the invitation to like and share if you think we need music and art education. Do we need it, Ian? Or do you think it's a case of no? Why should we actually sort of bother with the humanities or the arts at all, really?
Well, it's so obvious that we do, isn't it?
Why is it obvious?
We do need creative studies. We do need music. We do need games as well. I mean, it's depressing the number of sports fields that have been taken away from schools now.
Do you think that could possibly tie in with England's lack of success in the World Cup? Just a thought.
No, I think it's much more profound than that.
Oh, well, Chris Waddle wouldn't think it's as profound as that. He'd simply say, the trouble is you just don't have people playing on the streets as he used to when he was a lad. And of course,
that's quite true. The other thing, I remember doing a programme with Malcolm Allison, and he said one of the defects of English football was caused by the bumpy pitch that all the young players played on, which was not conducive to technical football. Also, you get a lot of people managing or organising these teams don't really know very much about what they're doing, and it's just a matter of humping the ball forward all the time. I remember in the 1970s, there was a very famous left back called Paul Breitner, played for Germany, and he described English football as stupid football. And no one thought, well, why? I better listen to this chap because Germany have been so successful and we haven't. And everybody in England came out and said, "What? Who's this guy? To be telling us? because we invented the game, etc., etc.
And let's face it, he had...
Well, I mean, they're right.
He had a heck of a perm, though, did Paul Breitner. I mean, it was one significant perm. And if you add to the perm...
I think he lives on in Porfellini, actually.
Yeah, well, there we are.
Is it Porfellini?
Marouane Fellaini.
Oh, sorry.
Marouane Fellaini. Yeah. Before his time, Marouane Fellaini actually modelled his particular perm on, indeed, Paul Breitner. Or maybe he's just a dumb cop. It's just a thought.
Well, probably the Jackson 5, I think.
Hey, now there we are. That's an interesting line. Malcolm Allison, of course, blast of the past, but doing wonderful things. So he's up there in the great place in the sky. Do you feel, though, thinking about comments, that the great Sven Göran Eriksson, who said, had Roy Hodgson been a foreign manager, he would have been hung, drawn and quartered by now. He would have been out of the job immediately. Whereas Sven, of course, quarter-final, success on that basis, you see.
Yeah, but... Sven Eriksson had better players to play for him.
Ooh.
And I remember particularly, I think it was 2006, I'm not sure, England were the best team left, and I think he bottled it. He didn't go for gold. He played defensively and very cautiously. We lost on penalties, I think.
Well, that was, of course, Germany 2006, and of course...
We were probably the best team then. I mean, we had a really good team then. We had the two good centre-halves. We had other players at their peak, Gerrard and Lampard.
As Chris Waddle would say, maybe 2 years, another 2 years, it'll be another golden generation and yet another golden generation.
Actually, in 1989, I was filming in France just after Chris was transferred to Marseille, and I spent a day with him, and he told me he thought England could well win the World Cup that day. And at that time, the national newspapers were lampooning Robson.
Yeah.
All sorts of vile sort of personal abuse to him.
But not quite the turnip that Graham Taylor had to suffer. And now, of course, he's advertising beer on or cider on television. So we are.
Yes, I know.
It's a strange and bizarre world. Still, never mind. Whatever makes a penny. We'll talk about a variety of other bits and pieces to come, Ian, but A Bad Think is the selection from Cameron Tilbury this week, and their latest album, Sleep, is an eclectic collection of masterfully crafted modern prog alternative music. So it's not so much country music, more prog rock, as we used to refer to it in the days.
Really?
Yeah, prog rock. Interesting for this time of the day on a Thursday morning, with the time just coming around to 13 minutes to 9 o'clock here on Siren 107.3 FM, and presumably wherever you're listening to, because I always thought it's interesting when radio stations say, on so-and-so, it's 2 minutes past whatever. Well, isn't it that time in the same sort of time zone? Anyway, just a thought. A Bad Think's Michael Marquardt is the creative genius behind this, and what we're going to listen to is a glimpse inside his mind. Okay, so it's a glimpse inside the mind of Michael Marquardt.
Well, I hope there's no echo.
Are you ready for A Bad Think with On and On?
I am.
Marquardt, in this life a lot of things change, but the song On and On says that there are things that will never end, such as the need to be loved, good versus evil, the quest for power. Many of us just keep searching, and that will always go on and on. All very well, you might well say, and it's also all very well that A Bad Think were originally founded in Virginia Beach, then transplanted to Los Angeles, driven, as we said, by the talents of former drummer for British Grammy Award-winning band A Flock of Seagulls, Michael Marquardt. The ultimate question is, though, Ian Lennox, what did you make of A Bad Think and On and On?
I think it's an acquired taste, and one which I haven't acquired. It seemed rather strange to me. I thought it was going to be a melodic sort of song at first, and then it just seemed just like an air raid siren going on.
It's a culmination of life, love, hope, and lust, fueled by powerful, heartfelt lyrics, hypnotic undertones, huge choruses, and infectious melodies. I would say it's better hearing it second time round. Last night, when Cameron asked me what I made of it, I equally said, it could grow on me. And second time today, that would be my line on that.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's got their own taste in music. And
that's
stuff.
What makes us human. That's what makes the magic of life so magical and wondrous. So what does the rest of the day have in store for yourself, Ian? Is it a case of you will be supporting Team USA against the might of Jürgen Klinsmann's homeboys, the very same Jürgen Löw's Germany?
Yes, I know. It's really interesting, isn't it? I think America's case might have been strengthened if Jürgen could have gone on the pitch.
Really?
He was a good player. Klinsmann.
Well, yes, but, you know, I mean, he could probably just still do a swan dive, but...
he might have dived into the penalty from the halfway line.
It's a way forward. That's the important thing. Who knows what could happen from that. So will it be that, or will, as Katie Grimmison alluded to earlier, will he just be making the best use of the weather, getting out the old sun cream and effectively saying, I'm just going to chill out and relax and do some sunbathing. Peel me another grape. Will that be the law?
Well, I might put on my hammock today. And I've also, during the music, I had a call from a builder. And I had to sort of see I'd ring him back, so I don't know what that was about.
That clearly explains why, clearly, you know, you weren't able to give your full attention to A Bad Think. Because, you know, builders were coming.
I've also a letter from the council saying that I must cut back my hedge because it's obstructing the highway, as they said.
Oh dear, it's always frustrating, and it is that sort of hedge-cutting thing that's
and they send people around the streets looking at these things.
Well, I suppose in many ways it's one way to address the whole question of ensuring that everything else is sorted through on that basis. Minty Steed has just texted in to say she wants to talk about Redcurrent Thirsk Racers, following on from Ripon, and also Racer UK TV, Flamborough, all about Dogs Unleashed. Two dog shows this weekend in Derbyshire, the Newcastle Racecourses, and indeed Poppy Croft's maker of Toffee's Top Hat.
Toppings week up here, which means that the coincides with the Pitman's Derby.
Oh, yeah.
The Sunderland Plate, which is a big race.
Well, as they would say in Hexham, no doubt, why, when you get to the toppings, it's a whole new world, pet. Something like that.
Flower loving,
yeah, there you are. And if you want to actually translate to that, simply press 888 on your digital device. Only kidding. It's Siren 107.3 FM. We're going up to the news very shortly with, I figure we'll do another A Flock of Seagulls track. We had one yesterday to celebrate the fact that Michael Marquardt from A Bad Think was indeed the drummer for the band A Flock of Seagulls. But before then, of course, Ian Lennox, have you had a recently interesting telephonic link with us on the show?
Yes, I have.
Can we look forward to connecting with you again, let's say, in a week's time?
Yes.
Excellent. And actually, you'll be part of our other little show we need to speak about, which, of course, is the World Cup Predictor Challenge, which you can access.
Oh, right. I'm sorry I got that mixed up, didn't I?
Yeah, it's very... Yeah, it'll all work splendidly.
Absolutely. It's all seamless to me.
Exactly. Much like life.
Hello, this is Jane Clark, the historian at Aintree Racecourse, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition with Alex Levchuk.
Excellent. Okay, weather today, highs of 17 degrees centigrade, lows of 11 degrees centigrade. It's going to be a fine, dry day with spells of sunshine and light winds.
Hi, I'm Trevor Dan, or Professor Trevor Dan, as they like to call me at the University of Lincoln. You are listening to Siren FM.
Marvellous. Online now, as promised, slightly later time slot, but still lots to pack into the 8 or 10 minutes that we allocate to the legends that is Minty Steed. Minty, how are you?
Okay, thank you, Alex.
Marvellous. So, just heard from Ian Lennox that the hoppings are on, and that ties in with, obviously, racecourse things, and Newcastle's taking place from that, and you will be there.
Yes. Newcastle's next on our list. We've completed York, as you know, our first, the other night, evening racing, and Ripon and Redcar. So we're moving on round and spreading further outward as we go. So Newcastle next.
Okay, so Ripon, yeah. Thirsk, Newcastle and so on. How are the facilities for somebody like yourself who's in a wheelchair, is paraplegic? What's the situation been? Has it all been working well?
It's been working fine. Now, I judge by how when I move from wheelchair into car, how sort of affected I'm by the next day as to the facilities. And I can say top running mats at the moment is Redcar. It may be a very small course, but they've really put some thought into it. And there's nowhere at all mounted around Redcar that we came across a bump or anything that then made me quite unwell, you know, by the next day. So, yeah, I was able to travel the next day after Redcar with no bother at all. So, top notch to Redcar at the moment. Ripon, very good. And Thirsk certainly have got the measure of it when it comes to matching two areas together, because you can come out of the area that meets the grandstand and then go straight over immediately to an area that's a good size too. I like that very much, where you can see the horses in the paddock as they parade round before they go to race. So you don't have to sort of shoot from one area to the other. They've matched it up very well, and I appreciated that. And they're a very, very close runner in on the helpfulness for disability, I have to say that. And we're becoming awfully known now, especially after being on Racing UK channel, that one of the chefs who came to see Toppy at which was it, Redcar, he came down from where he was being the chef at first and came over to see Toffee and to have a word with us, because he said he would next time, and he spotted us and came straight out to say, you know, that we've got, that's another race course we've obviously managed. And the sort of quite a few people travel around all the races, you see, catering, security, etc. And we're becoming very known now. It's sort of spreading the word a bit, and you know, everything's been very much appreciated. And I have to say, all those who administer the matters over the racing, when you consider how busy they are and you think how much, should we say, value of horse flesh and everything else that's going on that's on the races, and the amount of people to give the time to set aside enough to make sure that we're able to get in, etc., I think is very good of them. Everybody's been very cooperative with this, and I appreciate it.
Earlier today, of course, on the Early Morning Breakfast Show, Ben Pickard featured an interview that he did with some of the RSPCA folk who were talking about their dog awareness packages and the entertainment things that's there. In Lincolnshire, of course, this weekend at the Lincolnshire Showground, we have an All About Dogs event, and also in Derbyshire. So it's canine treats all round. How many of those will you be intending to actually attend with the Terrier team?
Hopefully, Lincoln Saturday and Derbyshire Sunday. We'll definitely be doing Derbyshire Sunday. It may possibly be that we're racing again on the Saturday, but the plan is definitely, as we stand now, that way. I know I can't stand up, but I can say that as we stand, Lincoln Saturday, Derbyshire Sunday, and the Terrier team will be in full resplendent glory doing their bit for Terriers, and we shall see what results on the day. All About Dogs is a good one, and it's the first time I believe they've had it on Lincoln County Showground. So I do know one thing, the Lincoln County Showground is excellent for disabled people, so I'm not going to be bumped up and down different areas and things there.
And of course, last week, although we didn't actually meet face to face, you did actually get there. You were at the Lincolnshire Show, at least for day one. Comments? Did you enjoy the whole event?
Yeah, at Lincoln County Showground is still all and everything as I know it to have been, and additionally so now, as I remember from other years. And I couldn't fault Lincoln County Showground, nor Lincoln County Show Committee, etc., on anything at all. The only one thing we did have was a slightly jobs-worthy chap, of which we could have gone straight across one area. No, you're not going across, you know. No. But other than that, then we've got to have one of those somewhere, haven't we? Other than that, there was just someone at the gate, you know, who's tending to open and close the gate for you. But other than that, I would say Lincoln County would take some beating.
Excellent. Slightly sad and a poignant piece of information, because obviously we're speaking about the rabbit sort of earlier today. But yes. Dougie Byrne, of course, named after Douglas Byrne, the founder of Hickstead, has moved up into the great rabbit hutch in the sky. So
He has. Dougie, Stuart did everything possible for him, but unfortunately, it's one of these things. And, you know, rabbits can be very, very well 1 minute and go down the next. And Dougie Byrne slipped away, and it was a shock on us all. He fought bravely for about an hour or so, and then he died. And, we couldn't get a better bet anywhere than Stuart, and there was nothing he could do, so if there's nothing Stuart could do, nothing more than that, could you?
And in terms of age, do you know how old Dougie Byrne actually was?
Dougie Byrne was three.
Three. All right. So that's sort of middle-aged sort of rabbit area. Is that it? Sort of 4 or 5 years. You need to ask Lou Bevan to get our sort of expert line on that. Yeah. Okay. So moving on, is the intention to continue to actually seek out some show jumping rabbits? Are we still sort of looking at that?
Oh yeah. Oh yes. And of course we do have rabbit entries things. We will be doing the rabbits this year, almost certainly. And JD is going into the miniature Netherland dwarfs, etc. So, I mean, you maybe would think, wouldn't you, that Netherland dwarfs are small as they are, but they aren't miniature ones too, and he's the only one. So we're going to see what he does, and we most certainly will not be, removing ourselves from the world of rabbit now. He had a good life and he enjoyed it, but just unfortunately we lost him.
Okay, moving on, we'll be talking very shortly to the Chief Executive Officer from BETA, which is the British Equestrian Trade Association. That's Claire Williams, so we'll be having a chat with her about how they've been supporting the industry for over 30 years. But moving on to one very important thing, Minty, of course, that would be Toffee's Top Hat, and how I believe it's Joe who's been set up with this, or Joan, I should say, from Poppycrofts, has actually been set up this challenge of making a top hat for Toffee. Yeah. Of course, Toffee the Terrier. How is that taking shape?
Oh, it's come on. She has top hat ready. John's done a magnificent job, and we shall be collecting it just after All About Dogs. When we finish from there, Joan is at a craft fair about 5 miles away from Lincoln, and we'll go straight over from Lincoln over to pick it up. Now, we would have gone round to see and meet up with Joan after Lincoln County, but as you know, with it being a county show and quite some traffic, you do have to have cones, you do have to have roads blocks, and you do have to have this way, you know, even if you want to go the other way, etc., which is only natural, so you've got to keep traffic flowing. So we ended up that as we came out, we were then going to be, so we were going to also circular in the opposite direction, we thought best to get back up and go back down again. And ideally now we've only got 5 miles, I think, at the most to go to the craft fair from Lincoln. So, and there won't be such, it's a very popular show, All About Dogs, but it won't be anything like the traffic trying to make its way out of a day at Lincoln County, will it?
Minty, we've covered, obviously, the joys of rabbits, terriers, visits to horse racing, etc. Fantastic stuff there. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this morning?
Yes, certainly. And thank you for everyone so far, especially in the racing aspect, being helpful. And a big thank you to Dandy Nichols, because he's really, really taken to Toffee. And he hopes that we'll complete the challenges before the year's out. I hope we do.
I'm sure you will, and we'll hopefully connect with you again in the very near future, probably similar time next week.
Yes, and anyone who follows racing will know the name Dandy Nichols. He was a famous jockey, and now he's one of the best of trainers.